Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. As always, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor, and joining me, as usual, except for the occasion of last week, I guess maybe I lied to people. I'm not always here as a host, am I?
No, that last week was the only week that you weren't here.
Holy crap, that's so weird. Oh, hey, that's my co-host, Sean Paul Ellis, who is always here. He holds that record. I have a trophy made for him.
No, do I get one?
It was a surprise, but yes, now this is your trophy of 100% attendance record. Congratulations.
Victorious.
I'm at, I guess, 98%? 0.5?
I think you're like 99.5.
Something like that. We got to round
it's
up.
It's pretty close.
We are going to actually take a little bit of a departure from our normal programming this week. I just got back from Comic-Con, so depending on when you guys are listening to this, it may be, you know, a week or so out, but I landed back in Atlanta what feels like just a few hours ago, fresh from the San Diego Comic-Con experience. San Diego Comic-Con 2015.
Oddly enough, you sound Comic-Con drunk.
I'm just Comic-Con tired.
Ooh.
I'm a kamikaze at this point. It's exhausting. I mean, we can get into it too, because it's basically just like, honestly, for people who go to this and they have certain things in mind, they make it like an annual event. This is my third year going, but not consecutively. So I've been going for the last 4 years, but this is my third year. So yeah, for people who plan to do this every year, it's basically just like a huge party. But for folks at home who have not actually been to the convention and like are like, wow, that sounds like fun, a week-long party, that's going to be great. I'm here to burst your bubble and rain upon your parade as a dark gray cloud.
Well, the scenario I'd like to set up is one where you, Dave, tell me, hey, Sean, I'm going to Comic-Con right now. And let me respond how I think normal people would respond.
Okay, yeah, we'll do it like a conversation, like I'm packing.
Here we go.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? I saw that you called. I just wanted to give you a call back before I headed out of town for a few days.
Oh, just want to see how you were doing. Where are you heading out of town?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. We're just gearing up for Comic-Con here. I'll be gone for, you know, 5-6 days, headed out to San Diego with 135,000 of my closest friends.
I'm sorry, what? You said you're going to San Diego Comic-Con?
Did you just like mess your pants a little bit?
Oh my god, dude. Can you sneak me in your luggage? Can you take me with you? Look, honestly though, I am very excited about this one fandom. Can you do me a favor and just grab any swag possible from that? Can you just send me direct photos so that I have a live stream to everything that's going on? I need... Dave, if you can put your finger on the pulse of SDCC for me, would you do it?
Like the literal pulse?
Yeah, the literal
just
pulse.
Find it and connect it back to you. Okay, so let me sum up.
Yeah, so if you find Chris Hardwick and just put your finger on his throat.
Any vein that I find, any artery with a pulse is fine.
Yeah.
So let me just sum up. Okay, I'm going to Comic-Con. I'm going for work. I don't know if I made that clear or not. So
you did.
Okay, so I'm going for work, which is cool. You want to come with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't hear mention of you doing any work, so that's cool. I mean, if you just want to...
I don't plan... Well, let me be honest and forthright.
Okay.
I plan on doing absolutely no work.
Okay.
In fact, I plan on creating work for you by having and being a shitty person.
Well, that's no different from any other time, I guess, so... Okay, so you want to come to Comic-Con for free?
Oh, man. Now I feel like an asshole.
You don't want to work. No, it's all good. You want all the swag I can carry for you. I didn't hear
if
any
you
mention
do me
of,
a favor
yeah, I didn't hear any mention just, of paying for it, so that's cool
no,
too.
No, I'm not paying for shit. If you could do me a favor and just not pack any clothing so that
just
you
empty
can
suitcase
add more
it?
Swag okay. into it,
yeah,
I'd
swag
love
pockets.
That.
Make sure there's empty swag pockets.
Please, please, please.
Okay.
You can get cargo shorts.
And then I'm actually wearing cargo shorts right now. and then
Full
you
of
want
swag.
You want me to go to this specific fandom that you are interested in.
Yes.
Okay, cool. This is... actually not too far off from my normal response I get from people when I'm like, I've got a Comic-Con.
I understand.
This is honestly like, because most people, and I get it, I was the same way back in, what was it, 2012, I guess, or 2011, the first time I went.
They were I like, feel yeah, like we're... this should be one of those moments where the Wayne's World, like the flashback, like the
diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly. Yeah, we're going to queue it up, and
couple,
we're going to find
couple
some...
couple years ago, Dave Trumbor.
Some 2011 video of me running around fresh-faced and excited and jubilant.
Adorable.
No, it was fun. I mean, the first time that I got invited by Collider to come out and actually cover Comic-Con, I thought, you know, I was like, I'd been to some smaller conventions and stuff in different places, and I just thought it would be like a big, crazy, cool party. from my end, and listeners out there, this is not going to be a typical experience because, yes, I am covering the convention. And we have a really sizable team that's out there, but we try to cover as much as possible so we can bring it back to everybody as content. So we work our asses off during the week. If you are just going for fun.
That sounds very nice and very kind of you. So in advance, if nobody ever says this to you, thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because I've been surfing Collider and as one of my main sites to go and look at. And so I feel very informed about everything that happened during San Diego Comic-Con. So you guys did really do a great job this year.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, if you guys are listening out there and you want to just check out some of the recent content, I mean, it's all over the place, but if you want a specific pipeline to go to, I'd love it if you checked out Collider, because we do have a lot of people doing a lot of work there. And we're definitely not just partying the whole time. I mean, it's basically, I'm going to get into, I mean, some of the statistics and stuff, nothing too crazy, because that's not really what it's about. But just to give you an idea of the experience, because it's not just kind of like Sean was playing around with. It's not just like you show up and everything is just like your oyster, you know, like everything that you want to see is open and available to you. Every exclusive item is just in your hotel room waiting for you to pack it up and take it home with you. It's not even close to like that.
Oh my God.
This is basically, if you have a fear of massive crowds.
Check.
Really dense, long lines.
Check.
And just like nerd sweat, like a lot of
double
nerd
check.
Sweat.
You just want to triple check.
Just want to skip this thing completely because it's probably Under not going to be worth your while. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But it can be fun, and I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be a downer on the whole thing, because, you know, 136,000 people can't be wrong every year. So there is a lot of really cool stuff to see. There's a lot of fun things to check out that you may not ever get a chance to do anywhere else. And yeah, I can talk about a little bit about that, because I definitely have gotten to see a lot of cool stuff before anybody else has. The thing is, in our situation, that we cover a panel for like, oh, I don't know, Batman versus Superman, the first footage that they, you know, a new trailer they release or something like that, or the first Deadpool trailer or whatever. Nice. And then 10 minutes later, either somebody's got a bootleg copy of it up online or the studio itself releases like an official stream. So for the people who spend the time and the money and the effort to get out there and see this stuff, there's a lot of conversation about like, is it worth it? Is it just marketing? Is there anything special for the fans to even go? And this year there was one big special thing for the fans that you can't get just from being at home. And we can talk about that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff, which I unfortunately missed out on, but I still think it's a very cool experience.
Oh,
No, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, that's part of the job. That's honestly part of the job. For fans who want to go every year, it's stuff like this that I think makes the experience worthwhile and worth the cost and the time. And then for me, it's just, that's my job. So that's how it is. So I just want to ask you kind of like, what is your conception of the whole thing? How do you think it works? What do you think it's like for, if you were just a fan going in your first year and you were just going to go sight unseen without researching anything, like what's your interpretation?
Ooh, my impression of the whole situation is that it is a mass of people that descend onto San Diego.
Yeah.
And I say this from a personal standpoint, that would be the weekend that I would GTFO San Diego as fast as possible.
Yeah. The people that live there, I don't know how they deal with it. You can tell
I mean, I was in San Diego earlier this year.
Were you down in like where the convention center is? It's kind of just like along the Inner Harbor and along the marina.
It's yeah, I was in part of that area. Yeah, okay. But not for very long. I was more like in the North Park area.
Okay,
that was very nice. It was just it happened to be where the improv festival that I was performing at, where it was located, and so we were there for Finest City Improv, and so it was sort of away from the convention center. We're not talking, you know, 136,000 people. We're talking realistically maybe, you know, 150 to 300. You know, people kind of for this festival kind of all descending to a small area and hanging out.
Right.
I've realized, and this is just a personal note, from going to a music festival on the 4th of July.
Right.
That I am not a good person to go to a music festival. If you were to say to me, hey, Sean, would you like to go to Bonnaroo? Yeah. I could not throw my phone into a moving train fast enough
Even if I asked you in person, you would just throw the phone out of gut reaction, just anger.
Just gut reaction, just throw. Yeah. I'm just not somebody who, you know, I think is good with that kind of a crowd and that kind of a sizable, you know, amount of people. I used to go to conventions for actual comic books and for Magic the Gathering cards when I was when I was much younger. My sister and I would play in Magic tournaments.
Yeah.
And even that, there were a lot of people and it was a lot of haggling. And I know that that's not what Comic-Con is about, but this is simply my experience. And so it seems like Comic-Con to me, in my impression of it, is my experiences and all my fears times 100.
And yeah, that sums it up pretty well.
And I will say that, you know, when we were in college together, I had a friend or a mutual friend of ours went to E3 one year.
Right.
And I sort of had this very romanticized view of E3 being a gamer, loving video games. I really had an intense desire to go.
Yeah.
And I think the friend that had our mutual friend that ended up going is a very positive person to begin with. So regardless of the outcome, he would have just smiled through the entire event and enjoyed everything. But
if you could tell listeners, he's not talking about me because I would, I don't usually smile through all my events. Yeah.
You know, but those experiences I think would have been, you know, somewhat frustrating to me.
Right.
Because I am somebody that when I go somewhere and when I travel, I want to do very specific things and I want to have a very specific experience. And I know that in some cases for SDCC, it's very challenging to have exactly the experience that you want.
Yeah, and that's the thing is managing.
And I can't even imagine going in as somebody who's a member of the press like yourself and having to kind of combat and negotiate all of those intricacies, because that's complicated.
Yeah, and it's funny. So I would say, well, first of all, I've only been there 3 times over the last 4 years. We've got people that work for the site that have been going for, you know, 7 to 10 years. Obviously, there's people out there that have been going for way longer than that. So I don't claim to be an expert on it at all. This is just kind of like my experience for people who haven't been and might be curious. And also to give them a kind of almost a behind-the-scenes peek, because it's press stuff. But guess what? People think that we have like, because we have a press badge, right? People think like, oh, you got a press badge. You can just walk right in and just do whatever you want. That's not how it works. We still stand in line with you guys unless we have an actual press pass for an individual panel, which lets us in. But they have a limited number of those. It's basically like you can talk about a hall, this massive like concert hall that's, you know, 6,500 people. And there's maybe like 20 press seats and that's it. So most of the time we don't get that. Most of the time, it's for some of the bigger guys, but we get our fair share. But for the most part, I'm standing in lines, asshole to elbows with everybody else. There's a lot of people, and there's only a limited number of seats. So most of your time at the con is spent in lines. Like if you want to see the massive, the big panels for the big stars with all that, you know, all the hoopla that kind of entails, get ready to stand in line. Just manage that expectation.
I love the fact that you just use the word hoopla.
Hoopla.
Like Comic-Con you hoopla. Are Comic-Con hoopla. So if you are con curious,
yes,
this sort of gives you, and you are wondering whether or not it's beneficial to be a member of the press or a member of just the general fandom.
Right.
It seems like in many cases there's no difference.
There's not a lot. I mean, they do allow a lot of people in for press, but like I said, there's not really any special, you don't get any special treatment at all. You actually probably get shit on a little bit more than like the average attendee because they're just like, oh, you're press. They don't make any concessions for you. And I'm not bitching. Like I said, that's just part of the job. But it's not, we don't have like a special magic pass that just lets us into stuff.
Let me ask, and this will be a sidebar, just maybe not related to SDCC, but did you ever go to some type of an amusement park or a convention where you gained special treatment and you were like, this is the best experience ever. Like getting a fast pass at Disney World and being able to just jump to the front of the line for everything.
No, I mean, for the most part, if it's an organized event like these conventions are, because I've also been to not just Comic-Con, I've been to Dragon Con here in Atlanta as press. I've been to WonderCon. I've been to the D23, so the Disney Expo.
Yeah.
So I've been to those, and honestly, it's the same thing. With press, you can maybe, depending on the size of your outlet, if you can just be like, I work for so-and-so, so you're going to have to let me into this thing, figure it out. If you want to, you know, be a dick about it, you can kind of push your way in. But for the most part, yeah, you're just kind of doing the same thing as everybody else. The only cool stuff I get to do through press is specific events for the press just to do marketing or to drum up interest in whatever the project is. So for the big convention stuff, it's not anything like that.
And I'm curious to hear about what some of those. So there wasn't something that was big like that at San Diego Comic-Con?
Well, first of all, the whole reason for Comic-Con has changed over the years. So the diehard purists will tell you that it used to be about the comic books. It used to be about the community of people who love this stuff, who could come together and just share their knowledge, their experience, their love of the comics. And now, and I mean, it probably was in an extent then too, but now it's a massive, massive, massive marketing campaign. And people are paying to sit there and spend their time just listening to marketing, listening to commercials that just happen to be like, you know, live action in your face commercials. You know, the whole exhibitors hall is great for those individual exhibitors, but it's also for, you know, the massive studios that can sell the toys that are, like we talk about on the show all the time, it's the toys that make the money for like Hasbro and all these other companies. It's not necessarily the shows. So it's the toys and the marketing that sell. And that's what Comic-Con has kind of become about. Like you said, it's the first thing that when I tell people I'm going, they're like, oh, can you get me this thing? Or I've really been looking for this. Or I hear they have an exclusive on this. Like a Lego set that's composed of like 20 bricks. But because it's an exclusive set that they're only making 50 of, the thing's like $100. And I mean, you can turn around and sell it for 5 times or 10 times that. Because it's just people doing their collection stuff. And guess what? I mean, that's totally cool. If that's your thing, awesome. That's just not mine. So when it comes down to it, for those lines that I stand in or sit in and cover this stuff, that's just like 100% pure marketing for the most part. It's just, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And it's just not quite as enjoyable as somebody who goes with the mindset of like, this is the thing that I love. I want everything I can get my hands on for this thing. And if I can meet the people behind this thing that create this thing and allow me to enjoy it, then I'm going to be the happiest person ever. For those people, more power to you. All I say is manage your expectations so you don't think that you can get into every major panel and go see a bunch of the smaller stuff too. It's just not physically possible. Yeah.
Right.
So
should we... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to talk about the lines for a little bit. I don't know if people are just like aware of it. You've probably seen any of the media coverage that talks about Comic-Con. It's just like, oh, 130,000 nerds descended on San Diego again. Here's a look at the lines. And they usually like wrap around the block or they go off into these crazy areas that you're just like, where the fuck am I anymore? Like, I don't, what zip code am I in? I can't even see the hotel I am in. It's nuts. But
it actually, it's weird because some of the lines start in somebody's hotel room and they just go all the way into the convention center. And it's convenient. If you wake up in the morning and it just so happens that the line's going through your room, you just jump right in.
If you happen to have rented a discount room that has, you know, doors on either end, that's a throughway room, guess what? I mean, you'll be woken up real early, but you're already in line. So congratulations.
But let's be honest. Who hasn't rented a room like that and hasn't been excited?
Who hasn't stayed overnight in a breezeway? Legally or otherwise.
Oh my God.
I will say this. San Diego is a fantastic city to be homeless in because it is room temperature pretty much year round. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I think California in general is a great state to be homeless in.
It's pretty good.
I've spent a good amount of time up in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And there was just orange trees that were near like the actual like city capital, and they actually yielded regular oranges that were of a decent size. And I remember at one point, I think I tweeted like a very long time ago that I was out there, and I was like, you know, if I was ever homeless in some place, I would love for it to be Sacramento because I would never have a vitamin C deficiency.
You never get rickets.
And somebody tweeted at me, and they were just like, yeah, we actually have a really big problem with homeless people in this area. And I was like, well, obviously. Now I feel like a dick.
But I mean, it's because it's like a mecca. I mean, I lived in Davis outside of Sacramento for about 6 months or so. And yeah, I mean, it's a great hipster community too, because they just go and they quite literally just, you know, raise chickens in their backyard. And they're just like these free range chickens that go around the city. It's, you know, super bike friendly. there are olive trees and banana trees and orange trees everywhere. And they just go around and they just either pick the stuff up off the ground or just take it
chicken,
off the trees.
Chicken trees.
Chicken trees, whatever you
salmon
want.
Salmon trees.
Fried chicken tree and there's grilled chicken on the other side of the street. They're all organic.
Single source, because you know the tree. You're picking
That's
it yourself.
Right. You know the, yeah, you know the name. Each chicken.
You do the math.
You do the math. But it's a great place to be homeless is all I'm trying to say. So if you find yourself attending, if you find yourself attending San Diego Comic-Con, and you're like, I live in Minnesota, I don't want to do that anymore, I'm just going to stay here forever. But I didn't plan on it, and I have no money. Guess what? You're totally fine. You're taken care of. Just hang out, and you'll be fine.
Also, some of the country's best fish tacos. So if you're out there,
oh my God, yeah,
and you're looking for fish tacos, fantastic.
And if you need to make a run for the border, you don't need to Taco Bell. Like, the literal Mexican border is right there in Tijuana.
You're like right in TJ anyway.
Yeah, so you're right there.
Jump it.
So that's all good.
Oh my God. So you were talking about lines.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into them too much. I just kind of want to make people aware that, like, again, for the press stuff, like, most of your day, man, is spent in the lines, and it's a blessing and a curse. The blessing may not be apparent right away. You get to meet some really cool people in these lines, and it's people that share a lot of the same fandoms. It's people that are there to just enjoy it and to experience different things. And you could, you know, just start a conversation with somebody. You would think with all the socially awkward people that are involved at Comic-Con that it would just be dead silent the entire time, but there's a lot of conversation that goes on. And people, you know, can inform each other about different things. I talked to a few people about the podcast and, you know, tried to drum up some interest and stuff. So that was kind of cool. I was able to do that and not be like,
that's great,
feel like I'm pushing something or trying to sell something, you know, just an organic level of interest. But yeah, you get to meet all kinds of people from all different fandoms. You get introduced to new projects. You get turned on to different directors or different actors or different comic book artists, or, you know, you can let people know, like, hey, there's this party going on tonight up at this place. Do you guys know anything going on Saturday? So it's just normal, straight up conversation that most people this day and age have forgotten how to do, because everybody's got their face smashed into their phones, or everybody's just stuck behind a computer screen. So it's actually nice because you're stuck there for like 10, 12 hours sometimes with these same people. So you better get to know them real soon, and hopefully they unsmash their faces from their phones. The downside. So, like I mentioned at the outset, 130-some thousand people. Hall H, which is the convention center's biggest venue, holds 6,500.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if all 130,000 want to get into that line, into that panel, for whatever it happens to be. In the past, it was like Twilight was a huge thing, and then Marvel was a huge thing. Now Star Wars is obviously a huge thing. So
right.
Between Warner Brothers, Marvel, and Star Wars, these things are all pretty much the biggest draws, which means you know that you have a very limited chance of getting in for the early panels. So what you want to do is, oh, I don't know, line up the night before, starting at like 10 o'clock in the morning of the previous day.
Oh, boy.
And it's crazy. So every panel there starts at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And at that point, they allow people to line up for the next day. And the way that they've done it this year, which is slightly different from in years past, now, just stick with me here. I know it's kind of boring, but it just gives you an idea of the insanity for Comic-Con. You line up at 10 o'clock on, say, Thursday to get into Friday's panel. You're in there at 10 in the morning Thursday. By the time 10 o'clock at night hits on Thursday, you've stood in line all day for 12 hours, not doing anything else because you can't get out of line unless you, like, switch with people and organize that. Once right. 10 o'clock at night hits, the Comic-Con volunteers and staff start handing out wristbands. They will give you a wristband based on how far down the line you are. So if you're the first quarter of the 6,500 that Hall H holds, you'll get, you know, wristband A, whatever. So they basically mow through 6,500 people, they hand out 6,500 wristbands, and then you have a choice. You can either stay overnight and keep your same spot in line for the next day, or you can go home, try to get some sleep, come back the next day, be in line by a certain time in the morning, and then you're pretty much guaranteed access into the hall, but your ass is going to be all the way at the back of the line again. So if you want to be up front, then you got to get there, you know, days in advance, stay there, not go anywhere, sleep over, and wait till the next day. So basically what all I'm trying to say is that if you have your heart set on seeing the Warner Brothers panel at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, or you know you have to get into Hall H early on Friday to see the Star Wars panel at night, your ass has to be there at least a couple days in advance, and you better not plan to do anything but stand in line or switch in and out of the line with people for those 12 to 24 hours beforehand. And that is the level of insanity that this convention has gotten to. You know, just real quick, we were in line from 10 to 10 the one night. We got out of there, got our wristbands and stuff. We were alternating with people because we had to cover stuff throughout the day.
Sure.
But we got out of there by like 11:30.
Because, you know, you're at this thing and you're still working.
And that's the thing. We have to work. We can't just stand in one spot all day because we're working. So we have to cover this. So we kind of finagle our way in. But still, we have somebody standing in line in that spot for 12 hours a day. We get our wristbands at night. We come back at 4:30 in the morning, the next morning. And the line is already, it's literally on an island that is off in the harbor. Like, it's not even connected to the mainland. Like, it's out on the island. And
holy
it's like,
shit.
At that point, it's like, well, what the hell did we stand in line like 12 hours yesterday for if we could have just gotten in the back of this line this morning? So it's not the best system. Everybody, you need to be patient. You need to understand how the system works because otherwise you're not going to see anything and you're going to waste your whole time there. And the only reason I go through all that is because I want to remind people there is a ton of content at this convention, a ton of smaller rooms where you still get people like George R.R. Martin that show up, Nathan Fillion, Jeff Johns from D.C., just a ton of people that show up in these smaller rooms. You don't have to spend your lives waiting in line for Hall H. There's so much more to see at Comic-Con and so many more cool opportunities that I've had an opportunity to see a few of them. Unfortunately, this year was mostly spent in the big halls. So I highly recommend seeking out the smaller panels, maybe only spending the time, allocate your time for one huge thing throughout the week, and that's it. And then enjoy yourself everywhere else, because otherwise you just waste your time. Like, Sean, is there something that you're such a big fan of that you would just more or less sit in line for 24 hours waiting just for an hour-long presentation for the next thing coming from them? Or the people that show up to promote it?
I will confess, it is probably Star Wars.
And that's exactly what they expected this year. So that's why Friday was crazy. Now, that note, Star Wars.
I mean,
I will
say that when I was in high school and Episode 1 came out,
right,
I skipped school for majority of the day with some other friends, and we waited in line in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at an AMC that was there in order to get tickets. I saw Episode 1 twice the day. I saw the Thursday night into Friday morning midnight release.
I love those.
And then I came back a couple hours later and saw like the 7:30 showing that they have. So I was very, and this was, again, this was before I realized what I was watching with Episode 1.
Well, sure.
So
you're in the same boat as everybody else was. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just excited to, you know, to be a part of that experience. And, you know, my parents, the first Star Wars came out in 79, and then the subsequent episodes came out in the early 80s. And, you know, I went to go see them with my dad. You know, I saw Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi with my dad. I think he brought me to the theater to see them. I was way too young.
Yeah.
But I just have very fond memories of that. So it was enjoyable for me to see Episode 1 with a bunch of people who were extremely excited to be a part of that fandom. And now having something that I would have never thought in a million years would have happened was to have Episode 7 come out.
Exactly.
I'm pretty much ready to buy my ticket right now.
Yeah,
for...
and you're not alone. You know, millions of people out there would feel the same way. So I understand when there's like, you know, 100,000 or some odd number that want to get into this panel. I get it, man. It's pretty much your first look, and it's kind of like an up close and personal look at what's going on. And I teased this kind of at the beginning of the episode. The one panel from this entire week that I felt actually did some fan service and was worth the, you know, the price of admission, so to speak, was Star Wars. I'll tell you why. So anybody who hasn't really gotten caught up with the Star Wars panel, basically J.J. Abrams was there and he had some of the new cast on set. So that was cool, or on stage. So everybody got to meet them from behind a barricade and a wall of security guards. but they got to see them in person. That's cool.
Right.
And then a number of cool things happened that it just doesn't have the same impact when you're watching on a screen somewhere else, or, you know, seeing it the next day or whatever. It's much cooler if you're actually there. So real quick. So JJ had this whole presentation lined up where they had like behind the scenes images on screen behind him as he was talking about, you know, they were really pushing the practical effects and they were paying, you know, respect to the previous storyline and they, you know, all this kind of stuff. So then at one point they had an actual practical creature. His name was Baba Joe. kind of wander and just waddle across the stage. So of course everybody lost their minds because it's like it's a practical creature that you can almost, you know, conceivably touch right there.
Right.
And you know it's not a digital Jabba the Hutt slithering his way across the stage. So everybody was just floored by that. They loved it. And they like interacted with him and they like took some stuff. He was like a wandering merchant, so he had this big like pack on his back. He was kind of a camel creature looking thing. Like a two-legged camel. So they interacted with him a little bit. That was cool. And then the next cool thing was, oh, I don't know, bring out the original cast members all together on stage.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got Mark Hamill, who he's dyed in the wool for these conventions. I mean, between Star Wars and his Joker work, the guy loves these conventions. He's there pretty much every year. Yeah. And then obviously Carrie Fisher does these more frequently than the other co-star Harrison Ford. That was one of the biggest surprises, that he actually showed up to like join them. And that he actually seemed excited about it, which was kind of nice.
Yes.
So very cool.
The poor man does not seem very excited about much. So to get even a smile from him, I was like, oh, they did it.
Yeah, exactly.
They did
it. Exactly. So he seems pretty excited. That's cool. I think that made the fans very happy. It was released beforehand that they weren't going to show any new footage. They weren't going to show a new trailer. So, I mean, this day and age with the internet, half the time you know the news before you even go into the panel. So yes, that's my line of work. Yes, we do ruin some stuff for people. Occasionally, that's just how it goes. But in this case, there was some cool stuff that we did not know about. So we knew there wasn't going to be a trailer or footage, but JJ actually, they did a behind the scenes, I think it was like a 4 or 5 minute behind the scenes, kind of like a montage set to music. So they would show scenes that they were filming just like, you know, shot down a hallway or in a practical rig where it was like the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Or it was like on a speeder, but you know, like a practical speeder just somewhere out in the desert, or just like a stunt sequence with actual squibs going off and explosions going off and stormtroopers in full get up, you know, get knocked around. Really, really cool stuff. And you got to see, I mean, there's a ton of Easter eggs hidden in there. So if you guys haven't checked all that out yet, it's definitely worth combing through that footage because there's a ton of stuff in there that you can kind of figure out about the movies. So that was cool in and of itself. You got to see Simon Pegg, you know, in his quote unquote role within the movie. But that wasn't it. So the really cool thing, this is kind of, it's super cool, but also kind of shitty at the same time. I don't know if you heard about this yet, Sean. At the end, JJ was like, I just want to say it's 100% about the fans. That's the only reason we're here, because of guys like, you know, guys and girls like you. Without you, we couldn't do this. So we want to give you something special. And at this point, lines of stormtroopers start like filling the hall and they go, everybody's kind of looking around like, what the hell's going on? And they're like, we invite every single one of you in this hall, you know, 6,500 people strong, to come to a very special private Star Wars concert just down the road. So they empty out the whole fucking hall, which the only shitty part about this is there was still one panel after them, and it was like Kevin Smith's project. Yeah, dude, he heard what was going on. He was just kind of like, well, that's the end of that. So he was very happy there were still a few hundred people in there, but... yeah, he emptied out the entire hall. So, I mean, it was really cool. They marched down the street in like this parade lined by stormtroopers and security guards. They went to a concert. They had a massive fireworks display, which I saw while I was standing in line waiting for my Saturday wristband. Massive fireworks display. Everybody got a lightsaber. I mean, that's cool stuff, man. You can't have that experience sitting at home and watching a stream of it online. You just can't.
Right.
So... you know, for those 6,500 people who were lucky enough just to get in there at that time, stick around for the Star Wars thing, that's really cool. And there's nothing you can hand out or link to that is that same experience. So for them, awesome. For that 6,500 and first guy who was standing in line for Hall H that didn't make it into the Star Wars panel, dude, I hope you're still hanging in there because that is shitty. But it's stuff like that makes it cool. You know, that's why people go to it, for stuff like that. And that's why Kevin Smith will never come back, because he's probably not real happy.
Oh. Yeah, I could see that taking a lot of wind out of his sails, especially being such a large Star Wars fan that he is.
Exactly, yeah.
I could see him being unbelievably pissed that not only did he probably have to miss that panel, but he probably couldn't attend the festivities. So, oof.
Yeah. And then they sucked all the audience away from his project, which I don't even know.
Right. But.
But that's just part of it. I mean, so some other cool stuff. So just real quick, I'll just kind of run down some other, and it's not like I'm bragging. I'm just saying this is the kind of stuff that you get to see when you, you do go to Comic-Con. Like, oh, I don't know.
You well,
get
I'm,
to see...
I'm waiting for you to brag. Yeah. I want you to brag a little bit because I'm hoping you had a good time. I know you were there for like 6 days, five, 6 days. Like, I hope you are walking away from this experience with like at least one, at least one moment where you were just like, ah, this brought out the nostalgic inner Dave Trumbore who wants to enjoy this thing.
I can think of three off the top of my head that weren't just like random covering of the panels and stuff. So I can think of three that were kind of like a childlike enjoyment almost. Break me out of my sour old shell. The first one was the one I was going to talk about. This kind of opened up the con for me. Bill Murray, his first appearance at the convention.
Yes.
And like, if you think about it, like, A, why hasn't he been there before for some of his movies? And B, why the fuck did he show up for this one? Like, it makes no sense. So it's called, his movie's called Rock the Casbah. I think it's a Barry Levinson directed picture. It's a musical comedy. And it's essentially like he plays an aging rock producer or musical producer. And he is doing one last tour for his current artist that he manages. And they're doing a tour in like Afghanistan, basically. And he stumbles across this other girl who's very, very talented. And he helps her to perform in, it's basically like Afghanistan's version of American Idol. So Afghanistan Idol, I guess. And I think it's actually based on a real thing. This is like an actual story. So,
okay.
Dude, just such a weird thing to bring to Comic-Con. But that's kind of how Comic-Con is. You'd never know what's going to be around the next corner. You don't know what's going to be through the next door. You don't know when you're going to be sitting on the aisle and Bill Murray is just going to come down the aisle walking right next to you singing Smoke on the Water to like adoration of 6,500 fans. So, I mean, super cool. And the guy was up on stage and he was cracking jokes and he seems like a really sweet, very spiritual guy because he could, you know, he could riff with the audience members. He can make jokes back and forth. He could also, you know, have some really deep, touching personal revelations and share them with an audience of 6,500 people. And then he also took pictures with Jennifer Lawrence afterwards. So that's pretty awesome.
That's great.
Awesome guy. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you saw in kind of like the coverage that you were like, oh man, that looks awesome. I wish I could have seen that in person. Or man, these guys really won Comic-Con. Like, was there a studio or a project that you were like, if anybody won, it's these guys?
Pretty excited about was being able to see Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And it's been something where that particular movie in my mind, I'm nervous about it because they're throwing a lot of people at it.
Yeah.
All at once.
Yeah.
It's a huge cast, a lot of really big, well-known stars.
Yeah.
And so taking a look at that movie and hopefully, you know, what it's the tone that it's going to set and how they're going to work this into, you know, the rest of DC's plan for sort of, you know, some of these upcoming movies that they're
right.
that are slated. I was like, this seems and feels like it's going to be a big one. And I've been continually nervous about some of the pictures that we've seen about Jared Leto. And I will say, watching the trailer when it was released, that was something that I think put some of my fears at ease.
Good.
And again, you know, I know from talking with one of your colleagues and with talking with Frosty, you know, if I'm a fan of it, I can't really get too crazy until it's something that's actually been released. And then I'm able to evaluate it once it's there. And so I had been a little bit nervous about it. I was cautiously optimistic.
Yeah,
I'll say that. I was cautiously optimistic. And then I saw the trailer. And now I'm optimistic about how the movie's going to proceed, and I think it'll be a fun one. It looks like it's a lot of fun, and I'm just excited to see more of Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yeah.
And those couple lines that he had in the trailer, I was like, all right, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm excited now. So I'm hoping for more.
Yeah. Look, actually, this is an interesting thing to talk about in terms of Comic-Con itself. So. People go to Comic-Con expecting to see exclusive footage that no one else gets to see, at least not for a little while. You know, they paid the premium basically to see this stuff first. So right. What normally happens is these big studios will show it for the panel, and then they will release a trailer right afterwards.
Right.
Sometimes they bring extra footage that they only screen for Comic-Con people, and at the beginning of every freaking panel, they're like, please don't capture this on your cameras, please don't record, please don't live stream, please don't this and this and this. But when you have 6,500 people, it only takes a handful of them, somebody's going to do it. So this right. obviously happened for Deadpool, and it happened for Suicide Squad.
Right.
So the cool thing about Suicide Squad, this leaked, everybody got to see the trailer. Warner Brothers was pissed, David Ayer, the director, was pissed. But then Warner Brothers came out and they released a statement which was very heavy in legalese, as we've as we've learned in our experience with Warner Brothers. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes.
Their legal department is strong. Let's just put it that way. But they came out, released
the force is strong with that legal department.
Their legal is strong. Strong legal. Mm. They basically came out and released a statement that said, more or less, we don't want the shitty quality of this getting out there and affecting how people view our product, so we're just going to release it officially. Like, it was way right. earlier than they intended. This film is 13 months from opening. It's right. not even close to being like trailer ready or anything. The right. trailer, I think, looks awesome. I spent time going through and just picking out individual images. There's a lot of really weird, really cool stuff hidden in there. But they release it officially, and that's just kind of the power of the fandoms too, because I don't think people did a bootleg to be like, I don't know, because they're not getting anything from it, really. I don't think they're selling it out there. It's not like they're copying it onto VHS tapes and selling them on the street in Brooklyn or anything. It's like,
I mean, do you feel that this gives some people the ability to, if they have a social media presence,
right.
where it gives them some additional clout?
I wouldn't say it gives you any clout when you actually just pirate something and show it off to people more or less illegally, because let's face it, it's just like stolen content. I mean, yes, among some circles, sure, you absolutely have that clout. But I think some right. people might have maybe like a Robin Hood complex where they think, you know, it shouldn't just be for these 6,500 people, it should be for everybody. So that's why the studios most times release it at the same time. So I think that's fine. I think it's cool. Everybody should get to enjoy it. It doesn't lessen the experience of the people who saw it in the hall on these massive screens. Warner Brothers actually bought additional screens for Hall H that almost like wrap around the side of the entire hall. And I think they had it in their contract that no other studio could use them. So you will only see the Warner Brothers stuff on those screens. It's pretty, pretty baller.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it was fun. So there was that. You know, you get to see auteurs come out like Guillermo del Toro. You get to see, which is always awesome. He's always a fun guy to check out. So I can't think of any other major ones that were there this year. My other big surprises where I kind of felt like a kid again were probably for the Fox panels. So for Deadpool, getting to see that yeah. first trailer, fucking, it was great, especially after all the kind of drama that they've been through over the years with poor iterations of the character and then footage being leaked and then, you know, production kind of dropping on and off. So it was really cool to see that all come together. The fans in the room saw the trailer. And then we're so impressed with it that they tried to, you know, Deadpool tried to get off the stage for X-Men to come on. And the fans, like every single one of them was just chanting one more time, one more time. And Chris Hardwick was up there as a moderator. And he's just like, guys, I can't do this. Like, you think I have power, but I don't. He's like, oh, fuck it. We'll show it again. So it wasn't scripted. It wasn't scripted, but they rolled the thing again and made everybody really happy. It was really cool to see. And
that's great.
Yeah, I think it meant a lot to the people involved with the project too. So that and then when the X-Men cast rolled in and they showed the first footage, it felt like watching at points. It felt like watching the old 90s cartoon. I'll just say that. Mm. Not exactly the same feeling, but it brought me back to that same kind of state. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. And you guys will see that all soon. I don't think, have you seen the X-Men stuff yet? I don't think they've actually released that.
I haven't, no.
No.
I've been looking.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction to that when it comes out, because it's okay. different, but it feels, it's at least familiar, which is nice.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, I guess those are kind of the major panels, and that's more or less where I was for the whole week. Like I said, there are a lot of cool smaller panels where just random stuff pops up. I got introduced to a different book series from George R. R. Martin, so everybody obviously knows him from the Game of Thrones series. He also does this anthology series where he and a bunch of other editors get together and they do short stories for a collection called Wild Cards. And that thing's been running since the early 80s. So it's an anthology series of stories with, it's basically just superheroes. Superheroes on a number of different levels. You get to learn about their individual stories in a written format. So it's not a comic book. And it's called Wild Cards. Mm. I got to find out about that one year just because I was in a room waiting for another panel and he just happened to show up and talk about that. So that was pretty cool.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. That's pretty much my my suggestions there is to manage your expectations, limit yourself to one mega panel, make sure you get to spend some time kind of on the exhibition floor and get some cool stuff if that's your thing. Make some time to relax, have some downtime, go to a party, do a screening, check out a new movie that maybe you hadn't heard of if there's some buzz right. around it. Just don't. My advice would just be not to spend your entire time crammed in a cave with 6,499 people just watching marketing stuff. That's the only thing I'd recommend to people. Get out there and see some more stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff.
That makes sense. And also, if you're in San Diego, try Fish Taco and head over to Ballast Point Brewery.
Absolutely. Yeah, I stopped at a Stone Tap Room on the way back.
Yes.
That was how I closed out my Comic-Con experience. I ate an entire like flatbread pizza to myself and had two or three beers, so it was a pretty good time.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had one of the beers that was made in collaboration with Will Wheaton, I believe.
That is correct. It was their Farking Wheaton Woot Stout, which is a really big, gnarly porter and stout that they had. It was pretty chewy. Awesome. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I was hoping I would tweet that out and then Wheaton would just like magically show up and just sit down next to me, but that did not happen. But he's another guy. I mean, that's another thing. So if you want to like hobnob with some of these celebrities, their security probably won't let you, but you'll just see them around randomly. I've run into, I don't know how many different ones and you know, you don't get to talk to them too much, but it's cool to just kind of see them, just wave and just be like, hey, big fan, you know, good luck. Thanks for coming, whatever. And they're usually pretty cool about it. So that's kind of neat. Dennis Leary was here for the first time ever.
Yeah, I saw that. That was interesting.
It was different. And he was like, he was just being mobbed. He was at a booth signing stuff at the Fox booth. And he's just being mobbed by people just trying to take pictures of him. I'm like, I mean, I don't get it. Dennis Leary's cool. I don't get trying to take pictures like right in his face. I don't know. Whatever. It's just not me. I don't get it. But if you want to know, he's got a new show on FX called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. And it starts this September. Actually, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious. And the way that you described it, I was like, so wait, it's just a follow-up to Rescue Me?
That's pretty much what it is. No, it's like he plays like an aging rocker who they had a chance at stardom with their band, but because of a lot of infighting, they broke up. So then they come back together like, I don't know, 15, 20 years later, and they act as sort of a backup band for a new girl singer. She wants to like start her career, but she needs an experienced band. So she brings them on as kind of like her touring band kind of thing. It's different.
And that singer grew up to be Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's how it worked. Dennis Leary mentored Taylor Swift to be everything Leary. She is today. Dude, I will say this. I know I've been talking like crazy for the last 45 minutes or so, but I obviously, since we do this podcast, I love to see different animation stuff. And unfortunately, this year I did not get to see as much as I would like. But I will point viewers and listeners to one thing called the Animation Show of Shows. And we'll have links up on our page. But they do award-winning animated short films from everything from Pixar down to, you know, these small studios, a lot of international stuff. They played, I think it was like an hour and a half of just like all these short films. Some were great, some were bizarre. They're all fantastic in their own way. And I would definitely say if you're a fan of animation or just filmmaking in general, definitely check these out, and we will have a link up. And that's one of the cool things that they just kind of snuck in there at the beginning of Hall H to basically fill a slot, but it was a really cool thing to see. So I'm glad I got to see that. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So any other questions from you, buddy? I know we actually have a few questions from some of my friends out there in Facebook land.
Yeah, I'm curious to kind of go through some of these questions, so let's get into it.
Yeah, so the first one comes from, I don't know, do you recognize this guy's name? Matthew Barron,
Matthew Barron. Mathieu? Yeah, I definitely.
Is it Mathieu?
Mathieu?
I think it's Mathieu Barron. Yes. He basically just wanted to know the best and the worst cosplay. And honestly, we've got a, over on Collider, if you check out the site, we've got a gallery of like, I don't know, 200 some odd images. I will be honest with you, the cosplay, at least where I get to see it, being in the lines and the panels all day, it's better at Dragon Con. because people come to Dragon Con specifically for that, to dress up and to share their fandom through dressing up. And they have the mega parade. I know Comic Con has one too. I usually don't get to check it out though. So for me, Dragon Con is where the cosplay is at. That being said, there was some cool stuff. There was one really like solid Daredevil from this last season, which kind of pissed me off because that's what I wanted to be. I just didn't have the time or the effort to put into it. And people, I love the people that put all this time, money, and effort into making their costumes because they look great. Even if I don't understand it, I can go up to somebody and just be like, I don't know what you're supposed to be, but it looks fucking awesome and good for you. And I'm glad you were able to pull this together. There is one guy who's walking around in a full Admiral Akbar costume, like the full giant calamari kind of head and the arm extensions and everything. He had people walking around with him to like help manage his fishbowl head because it's like impossible to walk through stuff. There was another one that was, it was Galactus. So it was a guy dressed as Galactus, big guy.
Holy crap.
But he had, you know how he has those like crazy like moose horn things on the side.
Giant, yeah.
I watched we were standing in line coming out of the bathroom. The dude Galactus is coming out of the bathroom and he has to turn sideways and just like walk between people because his giant moose antlers on the side of his head were gonna just like rake people's faces if he didn't turn sideways. So shit like that. If you want to cosplay, by all means, but just again manage your expectations. Just don't wear something that is cumbersome and crazy. And uncomfortable. There was one girl, she was dressed as
then allow us to just really enjoy the fact that
your pain and misery and Schadenfreude at Comic-Con.
Your pain and misery, and we're excited about
it's
that.
It's San Diego, I mean, Schadenfreude. Yeah. there was one girl out there. Are you a fan of Wreck-It Ralph at all? Did you watch Wreck-It Ralph?
I did. I'm a big fan of Wreck-It Ralph.
I can't remember the girl. It was like Sarah Silverman played the girl. The little sprite, the little
Glitch, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was a Glitch. I don't remember if that was her name or not, but you remember when she was in the race car, the like candy race car?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there was a girl, this tiny little Asian girl, who was dressed as Glitch and had that whole like race car made out of foam and was just like walking around the entire convention in that race car, which I thought was awesome. That was a good one.
Oh, that's really cool.
Worst cosplay? Damn. Probably me, because I just wore like my Scott Pilgrim t-shirts with wristbands and I got a couple
nods.
You
are predictable.
I am predictable. It's what I've done for like the last 4 years. Cause it's easy, guys. It's a t-shirt. Guys, it's a t-shirt. Just wear a t-shirt.
I think Sarah Silverman's character was Vanellope.
Vanellope. That's what it was. But she was like, she was a Glitch in the show.
Yeah. She was a Glitch. That's right.
But yeah, that girl was really good. So shout out to her, the Sideways Ultron or Sideways Galactus. A lot of cool ones that Steve got to see and he took pictures. So again, check them out on collider.com. You can find them there. So that's best and worst.
I'm surprised that you didn't put like a Hannibal face mask on and then just like a white t-shirt and you were like, I'm Hannibal season 3. I've been like, oh, okay.
I could have been season 4 where they're apparently on vacation. Ooh, I love that show. It's very sad that it's not happening, but
yeah, I know.
Okay, I think I might have already asked or answered Gemma's question. So Gemma Conroy asks, did I dress up? Yes, Gemma, I did dress up, kind of. I don't know if I met the expectations of everyone, but I wore a shirt, so that is dressing up for me. If so, what were you?
You know, I feel bad because if I was to go, I think the cosplay that I would have dressed up as would have really required no more than a t-shirt, sandals, and a wig, and I would have gone as Steven from Steven Universe. The cartoon Steven Universe.
See, and there you go. You can do stuff like that. And if you're smart about it, like people that dress up as the dude from Big Lebowski, done.
Right.
You know?
Great.
Or Kevin That's Smith. Awesome. Yeah. There was a guy he was a big guy that kind of looked like Kevin Smith, and he just wore an Islanders jersey. And that was his costume. That was it. He was done. So stuff like that's great. And then there's people that are like way overcomplicating stuff, but whatever. Each their own.
Well, I mean, I probably would have done it where I was like a zombie Steven from Steven Universe and put like Frankenstein bolts in my neck and then put a Daenerys dragon, Game of Thrones dragon on my shoulder.
No,
so
just kitchen
like
sink
Steven
it.
Universe, mother of dragons.
Mother of zombie, mother of undead dragons.
Mother of, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I think that's totally fine.
I would say that those are some of my favorites when people are just like, I'm going to see how many fandoms I can shove together into one amalgam. And those always end up being just crazy fun to watch. So thank you, whoever's out there doing those.
Yeah, there was one that was like, it was a very obscure kind of short run Cartoon Network series recently. I forget what it was called. It was something like through the forest or under the forest or something like that. Some crazy thing. And people in the comments on our gallery were just like, I never expected to see a cosplay for that because it's just such an obscure thing. But people love it. And I think that's what's great about these conventions is nobody judges you for coming out and dressing as your favorite character. Really, the only thing you're going to get bounced for is if you're just basically practically nude. If you're nude, security is going to bounce you out. Everybody else is going to be your best friend, but security is pretty much going to bounce you out immediately. That happens to Adrienne Curry pretty much every year. She actually, I think, does it on purpose. She dresses kind of like Aeon Flux, and I think she was like Melina from Mortal Kombat the one year, and she's gorgeous, and she owns it, and I think she's great, so more power to her. She just pretty much gets bounced out of the convention every year, but that's just how it goes. So let's see. Gemma asked, if so, what were you? So I was various days of Scott Pilgrim. And if not...
Did you at least quote Spot... Like, did you at least quote Scott
Pilgrim? No, dude, I always get so nervous with stuff like that. Like, some guy... Oh, my God. It was a security guy. He came up and he was like, are you Scott Pilgrim? I was like, yes. I was like, and I will be for the next couple of days. I have to go now. Because I was just, like, intimidated. I was like,
I'm not
going to
wash this t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had... I wasn't even wearing, like, a Scott... Oh. I was going to get lunch. A bunch of Green Lanterns got off of a bus in the middle of San Diego, and one of them came up to me, just pointed his finger right in my face, and was just like, nice. Because I was wearing a Scott Pilgrim shirt. I was like, thank you, I guess. He just walked away. And then when I was leaving to, I was going through security to fly back home, I was just wearing a Cowboy Bebop shirt that just said, see you, Space Cowboy, and it had the four kind of like silhouettes of the characters. And the TSA guy stopped me, and I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. And he was just like, hey, man, nice shirt. I was like, oh. I was like, I like your shirt, too. That was it. It was just like the exchange.
That was
it. He's like, have a good day. It's like, this TSA guy is pretty cool. So that was
it. You should have told him. You should have just been like, oh, I'm in lesbians with you.
I should have done that. But it would have been weird. It would have been weird in the Cowboy Bebop shirt, though.
Would it?
Yeah, that wouldn't have made sense. I would have got taken into the back room of TSA. Okay, so if not, if I wasn't in costume, what would I have been? I really wanted to do the Daredevil. I dug the all black, you know, handkerchief, you know, bandit kind of looking Daredevil thing. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that would have been.
I might try to do something for Dragon Con. That's what I say every year, though, dude. I always say next year, but yeah, maybe next year. She also wants to know, what is Claudio Sanchez like in real life? She loves Coheed and Cambria. So I did not see him this year. But he was there a couple of years ago at the Evil Inc. comics booth signing comic books. So he just tweeted it out through Evil Inc. that he was going to be there. So I actually got to meet him. I actually know Gemma really well. I got him and his wife to sign some comics for her that happened to be her wedding present. So she got some Coheed and Cambria comics signed by Claudio Sanchez. So pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's got a lot of questions. She wants to know, what was my favorite interview? I did not get to do any. I'm going to say most interesting was probably going to be M. Night Shyamalan, because the guy's ego is so massive that he does not understand that most people hate him. So that would have been a fascinating interview.
Oh, so Avatar 2 has been greenlit?
Yeah, right? The last Airbender.
The Happening 3.
Oh my God. Nah, he had a new show out called, like, or a new movie or a new show called The Visit. People said it was actually pretty good, but he's a fascinating person because you just can't get around his ego. And he's just not aware of anything outside of it. And it's just fascinating to me. The actual best interview was probably Rob Liefeld, who's the creator of Deadpool. And a lot of people know him in the comic book industry as an artist who can't draw feet. If you look at pretty much any of his covers, his character's feet are always hidden behind something else. Kind of a controversial character. But hey, man, this was Deadpool's, like, I think, 24th anniversary. He did something really cool. He actually hid 24 original sketches of Deadpool.
Feet?
And he drew feet. I don't think he did, actually. Looking at those sketches, I don't think he drew any feet.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
No, no, no. He did something really cool. He drew 24 original sketches, and he hid them all around San Diego in the convention halls, in restaurants, in different places. And then he would release clues so that people could find them, and they would have an original signed Rob Liefeld sketch of Deadpool. Thought that was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
One of the commenters, we did a write-up on that. One of the commenters was like, the only thing that will be hidden are Deadpool's feet. So that was pretty good. Gemma also wants to know, what is the best food item I ate there? Here's a pro tip. So if you're going to do things like sit in a hall for 24 hours or sit in line, sit in a hall for 24 hours, pack decent food and bring a lot of it. I went through Clif bars, granola bars, power bars, dried fruit, nuts and snacks and that kind of stuff. No junk, because you're in there that long, you're just going to feel like shit. And guess what? If you go in the hall, you can't leave because you lose your spot. So they have you pretty much pinned in there. So you have to buy whatever their food is. And it's pretty shitty and it's overpriced and it's not good for you. Just bring your own stuff. They don't check bags. They don't do any of that. So bring your own stuff. Best food item I ate? It had to be that flatbread pizza from Stone's Tap Room when I left.
Yeah.
Because it was mega. That was good stuff. I think awesome. The last question I have from...
This is the one question that I will say I'm the most excited to have you answer.
Yeah, my girlfriend was real excited about this one too. She wanted to know the answer to this one. This is from my buddy Justin Lau. He actually had two, but the second one was irrelevant. So he wants to know, did I get a handy from anyone?
And a handy, let's be clear.
Yeah, not like a handkerchief.
This is in reference to an old-fashioned, a hand job.
An old-fashioned handy.
An old-fashioned or a hand job.
Is that an old-fashioned?
Yeah.
I thought that was a drink.
Yeah.
Is that not a drink?
It probably is.
That explains a lot when I went to this one. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into
it. Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, Justin, I did not get a handy. I mean, fortunately, because my girlfriend might be listening to this show. So, fortunately, no handies were exchanged. I love that Sean could, like, see me just, like, turning red on camera right now.
You're blushing.
I'm exhausted. I'm screwing it up.
God.
But, yeah, no sexual favors were exchanged. So... Like I said, press badges just do not get you anything these days. But that's pretty much it, man. That's Comic-Con in a nutshell. Long lines, no handies, and some cool stuff along the way. That's their tagline for 2016. Oh, and they will actually be at the San Diego Convention Center up through, I believe, at least 2018, if not 2019. So they will be there. So make your travel plans accordingly. You want to come with me next year, bub?
If I could, I would love to.
Cool.
I think after having this, I feel that I will say this as a final note.
Yeah.
I always travel better with somebody who has had the experience before.
Right.
Because like you said, I'm able to better manage expectations.
Yeah. And we had some writers that were there for the first time and I felt bad for some of them because they didn't get to do any cool stuff, but they did a great job. Very professional. And I was really pleased with everybody that came to work.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's it for me, man. I'm all talked out. So what's going on with you? What have you been up to? What do you got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I'm going to be, I'll be performing in DC. I think by the time this finally gets released, I think we'll be performing and we'll be wrapping up our last improv show that we'll have for this July run that's called Wit Attacks.
Right.
We're doing something a little bit interesting. You're familiar with the five stages of grief, right?
Oh, very.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still in one of them. I don't remember which one it is, but
hopefully acceptance. So we're following the Kubler-Ross design of the five different stages of grief, and so we have dedicated an entire show about it. So we'll be doing that for the entire month of July, and so the last show will be in August on August 1st. We are at 9:30. You can find tickets on witdc.org. Come check us out. We did the first show this past weekend, and it was phenomenal. So we are very happy with the response that we have received, and it couldn't have been a better feeling. I think I walked around most of Sunday with a little bit of an ego until I smashed my head into a kitchen cabinet, and I was like, well, this was humiliating. I'm instantly humbled.
That's what happens when your head gets too big.
Yep. That's what happens to me. So it's pretty fun. But other than that, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis. I've just been kind of posting some random stuff and having fun. So come and check it out.
Awesome. Well done.
And Dave, I know I feel like this has been like an hour long debrief where you just like, this is what my job is like.
Yeah,
but
it's been good.
If they are unfamiliar or have fast forwarded to this point in the show,
I just want to fast forward.
Only
to
concerned
the
about plugs.
Yeah, I want to hear about the last 30 seconds.
Wanna hear what Dave has to say.
I just like when they say the word plugs. I don't know.
Dave gets real creative at the end, so this is the only part I want to tune
into.
My
favorite part is when he says Dr. Claw MD.
which is obviously where we can find you on Twitter.
That's true.
And you are still employed by what blog?
Still kicking with Collider.com. unless they've fired me since I came back from Comic-Con. Unless I was fired in flight and I didn't know about it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So check us out over there. There will still be a ton of Comic-Con content over there.
Ooh.
Yes.
Get that C3.
C3. And also Joss Whedon, just to let you know, won the Icon Award from Comic-Con. So I will steal his joke and say that that makes him a Comic-Con icon. So there you go. Ooh, that's boy. A Joss Whedon joke for you.
I like it. Yeah. That's good.
It's good stuff.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Are we going to get back to cartoons next week? Let's get back to cartoons next week.
We're going back to cartoons all next right. week. So
none of this real life crap.
So don't you worry.
Oh, I'm not.
I don't know why that got interesting for a second, but do you know what show we're getting back into next week?
I don't, actually. I'm barely even in my time zone anymore. What are we watching?
Well,
what
okay.
am I watching?
Let
what
me
are you watching?
Let me help you out. We actually have a couple that is coming on next week. It is going to be Justin Schneider and his wife Michelle.
They sound lovely.
Justin is a photographer in the DC area
nice.
And who goes to and attends a lot of these conventions.
Oh, should have had him on this week.
I know, right?
Like, hey, Justin, let's talk about conventions.
So Justin is a photographer, most notably for cosplay.
Ooh.
Which his wife, Michelle, is a fantastic cosplayer.
Man,
so,
I'm glad I didn't like disparage them this week then. That's great.
No, right?
What a great move on my part.
And we are gonna have a chance to and this is a show that I don't think I'm aware of this, but I don't think I've ever really sat down and watched it. We are gonna be watching Rainbow Bright.
Right. I know it exists. No clue what we're in for. Sean and I will each be dressed up as characters from Rainbow Bright next week. It will not be a video podcast.
It.
You'll just have to take our word for it.
It'll be pretty sexy.
Yeah. We're gonna have a
Rainbow
good time.
Bright is my favorite Halloween costume for ladies to wear. I don't know what it is. I think it's the socks. It's probably the socks.
It's gotta be the socks. There's a lot of colors going on. It's like Skittles. It's a good time.
It's very sexy. Yeah. So I'm excited. So it'll be interesting.
Interesting.
To separate my views about how I feel about modern day Halloween costumes versus a 80s cartoon.
There's gonna be a lot of angst for Ooh, Sean boy. Next week. There's gonna be a lot of conflict. If you love cartoons and conflict, maybe that should be the new title of the show. Cartoons and Conflict. Tune in next week, Saturday morning cartoon.
So no, well, this is awesome. Well, thank you, Dave, because you know, I not having had this experience, this was really rewarding and interesting to be able to get a more in-depth look at what San Diego Comic-Con entails. Yeah. And I mean, I know from being out there, I had a completely different experience.
Right.
So I know now what to expect.
Yeah.
So this has been helpful. So thank you, man. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, and I don't want to turn anybody off. So if you hadn't been there before and you want to check it out, just kind of take what I say with a grain of salt and enjoy yourself. Have a good time.
Well, cool. Well, awesome. Well, I think that's everything from us.
I think so.
So thank you. And tune in next week where we're going to be talking about
Rainbow Bright. Good times. We'll see you next week. Thanks.